Hey, you listen to this podcast. Go to myplayvolution.com, click the Amazon icon, bookmark that page, and use it every time you shop on Amazon. It's a way for you to support the show without costing you anything. And it's a win-win-win. Amazon wins because you buy their stuff, and you win because you get stuff. And we win because we get a few pennies per purchase. Win-win-win. What could be better? Come on, do it. Please? Explorations Early Learning has been producing low-tech, high-think toys for years. Check out our yummy wooden delights at explorationsearlylearning.com under the Shop tab. And think about joining the Toy of the Month Club. For a reasonable monthly fee, we ship you a sweet, sweet box of play. Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson, coming to you live via telephone with Lisa Murphy. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I am outside, and there's sun, and it's not raining, and there's no snow, and my pool is clean, and that means happy.
You're living the life.
Today I am. Yesterday... Yeah, it's cyclical.
Sometimes
you live the life one day, you cater to the man the next day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sometimes the life isn't exactly what it's cracked up to be.
The life.
A life is good enough. Hey, I got a story for you, and then I think it'll roll into a conversation.
Of course it will.
It always does. So a couple weeks ago, we headed off for a gig in Florida, and we bring in grandbaby with us because the plan is after a couple days at the gig, her mama and Tasha's sister and the nieces and nephew are going to meet us down there for a week at a beach house, and we're going to goof, right? And so
it's a
short 23-hour drive from our house, and so we break it up a little bit, and we end up the first night we spend in St. Louis. And we actually got there. The plan was to drive to St. Louis, spend time goofing around in St. Louis, get there early enough so we can have some fun. And we take grandbaby to the zoo. And St. Louis has got a wonderful zoo. It's free. You pay for parking. Otherwise, admission to the zoo is free. You can buy stuff in the zoo if you want to, but you don't have to. But the other great thing about it is that they serve beer and margaritas at their concession stand.
I was going to say, if my memory serves, it's a booze zoo.
I sent you a picture, and you know, nothing better than hanging out on the carousel after finishing up a nice Jose Cuervo margarita. And anyway, so we're enjoying the zoo, and it's a beautiful, beautiful day, and the zoo is just all in flower, and the animals are all napping and looking fat and happy. And walking the opposite direction from us comes this family, and you know, mom, dad, younger kid, and like a little girl, probably six-ish, we'll call her six, coming up behind. And this little girl has the audacity to step off the paved pathway into a little bit of muddy mulch where the sprinkler, the irrigation system had just gone off, and got her flip-flop wet. And mom hears a little splash and a little, you know, that noise kids make when they step in mud? That happy, yeah, that noise. Mom hears that, whips around, and top of her lungs, "Why'd you do that?" at this kid.
Mm.
And the little girl looked up at her. Well, I don't think she probably had the language yet, but she looked up at mom with this what the fuck kind of look on her face.
Yeah.
Because like what are you talking about? And I wanted to spin around and say, mom, she did it because she's a little girl and she's got flip flops off and there's gooey mud. That's why she did it. And I didn't. because I didn't want to spill my margarita. I just kept walking and bit my lip and
tossed. So you didn't want to look like the drunk stranger.
Yeah, you know, I can't have that happen again. And I could see the hair on Tasha's neck stand up too as she heard this mom scolding this kid for being a kid. And
I want to say things. Scolding a kid for being a kid, I like that, and I'd like to circle back to that. The other thing, and I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I think when adults say, "Why did you do that?" it is a 100% knee-jerk reaction. Like, I really don't think on any level they actually think that their child could articulate it. Like it's pretty freaking obvious why they did it, right? Because you're 6 and there's mud. And if it's St. Louis in what, July,
yeah,
June, it's probably 95 degrees with 120% humidity. So the honest answer is it probably just really felt good.
Yeah.
And, you know, and adults often, they jump and pound so hard, like somehow the kid went into the day going, and then at 2:45, I'm going to step in the mud and just rock her world.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. You know, and, you know, so a part of me, well, not a part of me, I mean, I would have had the same exact reaction that you and Tasha had, that hair prickly, turn around being like, calm down, Jesus Christ, it's mud. What is the worst thing that's going to happen here? But then at the same time, I also try, but not very effectively most of the time, to get in the head of the person who said it, right? Like, Are they hot? Are they crabby? Have they not eaten today because food is so expensive? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I try
not to throw them under the bus, but at the same time, it's like, if I had a relationship with that woman, what an amazing opportunity for some plopping of some kind of, I don't want to say parent education because that's not it, but like this is an expanding of that knowledge, like what Nancy Carlson Page talks about, how, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, you could plop a nugget of information kind of thing.
Plop a nugget. I love that.
And I love that idea. And she wasn't hot.
You're right. No, I know. She was like, all parents see, adult caregivers, they see a muddy foot that I now have to clean up, right? And as though somehow they have to own the consequence of the behavior, which is a whole other thing we could talk about. Like, why do you think it's your job to have to clean that up? Keep going.
Well, I was just gonna say, you know, all the work of rinsing off the $2.95 flip flop.
Yeah, it's a flip flop for crying out loud. And let's go back to controlling the environment. Okay, you're out in a place. You're in, I mean, somewhat of a controlled nature-based environment on some sense. Did you think it was going to be like wall-to-wall cement? Like, you know, there's no foresight. Like, where do you think this might go today? And let's be ready for that.
Yeah, yeah. And,
you know, and I'm not, and the other thing too is when adults like turn around and snap like that, they're usually asking a child a very literal question, which is going to receive a very literal answer. And it's not that the kid wants to be a wise ass. It's just that that's where they, where they are developmentally, right? So now the adult's like, why'd you do that? And the kid's like, well, because my foot was hot. And then smack, you know, and then they're, you know, it's like, no, we have this vicious cycle. Everybody's going to have a shitty afternoon. And it's all because there was an overreaction to a mud puddle.
Yeah, and it was probably
not even a mud puddle. It was probably just a little itty bitty bit of water.
Oh yeah, it wouldn't rate as a puddle. And I think her reaction was something along the lines of, I don't know. One of those 6-year-old little girl shoulder shrugs and looks of confusion, I think, was her response to why'd you do that?
Not to get all academic-y, but Paul Bronson talks about that in their book about how you actually end up teaching kids how to lie, because our questions are so poorly phrased and not thought through that the kids learn very early on whether they're being probed for the correct answer, the right answer, do I play dumb? What was that book? Do you remember Paul Bronson's book? My books are all in boxes right now, or I'd run upstairs and go check.
Oh, that'd make good pod.
No, that would make good video. Let's see Lisa rummaging through the piles of books.
Well, we'll just say the name again, and somebody listening will look it up and post it, I'm sure.
It's a man and a woman author team. The gentleman's name is Poe, as in P-O, P like Paul, Bronson, B-R-O-N-S-O.
Oh, Nurture Shock?
Nurture Shock. Nurture Shock is the name of the book. One of the chapters talks about how you end up unintentionally teaching your kids how to lie by asking questions like this.
I guess they got to learn sometime. But so, have you ever had any of those "why'd you do that" moments with other people or yourself?
Oh, sometimes I wish I had like 2 hours of prep before we pause, because then I could actually dig down into the memory bank instead of just saying, "I don't know." Sometimes I self-ask that, like when I find myself doing something stupid, you know, like, why did you do that? Usually it's when I get stressed and I start engaging in repetitive OCD behaviors, and I'll say, like, you know, then I'll find myself like trying to self-correct, like, why did you just do that? You know, you already checked that. You already did that. Why are you doing that? Are you tired? Are you stressed? Are you hungry? Why are you doing that? So I use it recently as just a way to kind of balance out the stress that's in my life with, you know, moving and all that crap.
So I'm trying
to think about the last time I was with a kid, unless jump in.
Well, in that sense though, that self-reflection sense, valuable question. It can lead to self-understanding when it's a question that you're asking yourself. When it's something you're spitting out at a kid walking through the zoo, not a whole lot of good comes from the question most of the time. And
no, because it's not really a question. It's more of a statement of the adult being pissed off or inconvenienced, but they, at the heat of the moment, they're not acting from that front part of their brain. They're totally acting from the back part. And so they're asking a question that really, they don't really expect an answer to. It's just a way of letting the kids know that they're somehow, you know, upset or pissed off or frustrated or whatever, or concerned about, you know, what has just happened here. When really, you know, the adult really doesn't care why they did that. And I see that question being asked to like 2-year-olds. You know, they don't even have the language to tell you. Even if they did have the thought process.
And so maybe that question has, maybe it's an evolutionary thing. We can't just growl at children anymore. And so we ask them stupid questions instead of.
That makes perfect sense. I had never thought of it that way. We don't just grunt and growl and make that face. I mean, some of us still, you know, have that primal kind of parent face and it shuts everything down. But I also know in larger group settings that I never thought about that. That would be like an interesting little research study from an anthropological lens of whether or not that noise is some kind of like remnant of some prehistorical management of children.
from the look on that mom's face, what she wanted to do is go, because this poor, and
which,
you know, you talked about.
Probably. I mean, to totally now, you know, hindsight 2020 and play, you know, armchair analyst, she probably would have been better served doing that.
Absolutely. And you mentioned, you mentioned getting inside the parent's head. And I really like that idea. And I mean, two young kids and they've been at the zoo, and the little one's in the stroller and out of the stroller. And the little one, the older one is, I want this. I need cotton candy. I need to ride the train. I need to go on the Ferris wheel. Why'd that monkey throw his poop? All that kind of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And dad's with, and you know, dad didn't want to be there. Dad feels like he got drug along. And he'd rather be sitting home watching a ball game than going to the zoo. But it's like Father's Day weekend, and so I got to go to the zoo. And mom's got all of that going around in her head, plus her sister-in-law looked at her funny the day before, and she's got that going on in her head. And so...
Oh, my God, I need an Advil just listening to this.
And so just those reflexive responses we throw out at kids sometimes can be a release valve for all the pressure that we're carrying around inside, too.
Right, right. The unfortunate part of that is that if you break it down like you just did, an adult would on some level be able to understand that my my displacement, right, of my projection of this onto you was in response to 16 things that have absolutely nothing to do with you, but, you know, you were like the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back, right?
Yeah.
You know, we used to talk in counseling classes about, you know, the dog that gets kicked, right? The dog didn't do anything wrong, but, you know, the mom or dad had a shitty day at work, and so, by golly, you were in my way, so the dog gets kicked.
Yeah,
you know?
somebody needs a kicking. Somebody needs a kick in. That's just, I mean, you just snap at that convenient target. I think I had a why'd you do that a few minutes ago. I'm ready to call you. And when we were in Florida, I organized my hard drive for the first time because it's like a terabyte I've got on the laptop, and I was running out of space, and so I moved files.
You ran out of space for a terabyte.
I was. I mean, seriously.
When we went to school, nobody even knew what a terabyte was. I mean.
I get a lot of crap on the computer. Most of it's podcast audio files. So I rearrange things and I organize and everything. And then we're going to go record. And I open up my recording software, and I go to load the template that I use with the intro music and the outro stuff and all of that. And it can't find it because I relocated it to the organized place instead of where I had it.
Right.
And so now I got to make the computer be smart again, because by trying to organize,
yep.
I made it. And the first thing I said, why? And so
why did I do that?
And what I did,
why
is,
did I fix it?
I thought I was,
it wasn't broken.
Yeah. And I thought I was doing a good thing, but I didn't think through the steps that if I move this file that's linked to this thing, then this thing can't find this file. And so sometimes the reason that for that, why'd I do that thing is that we don't think through all of the steps sometimes. And so I think,
okay, let me jump on that. One of the things that I think I do now that we've been talking and my brain's been working while I've been listening and talking is to buy myself some time. I think one of the things I've learned how to do is to just kind of say out loud what I'm noticing. So like, instead of saying, to go back to the same example that you used, with the kid anyway, I mean, probably nowadays, and I wouldn't say like, why did you do that? I just don't even think I have that in my world anymore. It would be like, you just put your foot in the mud. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, I can say something, the kid's like, yeah, I did. You know, and it kind of gives you that 10-second calm down, figure out if this is really,
if it's a thing,
that big of a deal, you know, or can we just get on with our day? But I think probably as a strategy, that's something that I've learned how to do, probably from watching other people.
That's probably a lot, that mirroring of the, you know, just kind of reflecting,
yeah,
this is what happened, and you just keep repeating that kind of lets everybody experience that moment.
Or I would have ignored it. I mean, honestly, I probably would have ignored it. Now, if she, like, threw her body down in it and started rolling around.
Yeah, that might be a thing.
You decided to roll around in the mud.
Well, I like the idea of ignoring it, because I think there's so much of that stuff that we can just ignore.
My God. We pay way too much attention to so much crap. And half of the time, it doesn't matter. And the other time, it has nothing to do with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let
it go. I mean, we create headaches for ourselves by paying so much attention to so much stuff. And for parents and caregivers, I think of, you know, just let it go, because it just we don't. There's enough going on in our lives without getting freaked out about every muddy flip-flop.
Well, do you think sometimes people are playing up, like they're worried that that there's that perception of, well, if I don't say something, then the people around me are going to think that I just, you know, don't care. You know what I'm saying? I think somebody said one time, somebody reminded me that, you know, for all the worrying about, I'm trying to phrase it from their lens. What they essentially told me was, you know, you spend a lot of energy worrying about what other people think. And the reality is that nobody really cares about what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you put all of the stock into what are they going to think and what are they going to say and what are they going to do? And the reality is that nobody cares. It's not that they don't care. It's that there are very few people who are sitting at home right now wondering what shoes I have on, you know, or wondering why I wore that outfit yesterday. Probably none, actually, would be the right answer. Well, you know what I'm saying? Just because everybody's got their own shit.
Yeah, yeah, and we are and rightfully so, we are self-interested creatures. We have to pay attention to ourselves. Nobody pays attention to us as much as we do. We have to pay attention to ourselves because our existence, our survival depends on it. And so nobody is nearly as cued in to you as you may think they are. And I mean, remember like being in like middle school or high school and how you thought, I mean,
oh my god, that's the worst.
But I mean, there are a lot of adults that are still at that place. And yeah, I think you're probably right there. And then she ends up walking by the two people in that zoo who are going to judge her for going off with the why'd you do that thing instead of ignoring it. She was just walking by the wrong people.
Yeah. You actually now have two people spending 30 minutes talking about it instead of just ignoring it.
And then
for me personally, sometimes like why did you do it is an honest kind of curiosity question. Like, you know, I think that depends on the delivery in which that question is, like the delivery, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like, why'd you do it? It's totally different than
why'd you do that?
You know, and I think the listener can pick up on whether or not, like, are you trying to trick me? Is there a right answer? And I need to now figure out what you're thinking I should be saying? Or am I getting a vibe like you're really honestly like, hey, dude, talk to me about that.
Well, yeah.
Go on.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that as an adult, I have found that I will often say I'm asking because I don't really know. Because I think sometimes, because I am a very inquisitive person, I do ask a lot of questions. And people, I think, are used to being asked loaded questions and questions that the person already has an answer to or a perceived response that they're looking for.
Yeah.
So I have found that to be helpful. You know, I'm asking because I don't really know. So talk to me about why you just I'm remembering a story back when we still had the school here in Rochester, and long story short, and I promise I will really condense it, we had a girl who was just constantly biting, and I mean, constant. I mean, everybody has their constant. I mean, it was like no rhyme, no reason. It was just all day, every day, nothing was working, and finally, I was in the room doing an observation with the teacher, and God love her, she was at her wit's end, but she'd never lost her patience, but you could tell she was getting frustrated, and she squat down one day and she looked at this little girl in the eye and she said, essentially, you know, why did you do that? She said, why do you keep fighting people? And the little girl looked at her and said, well, I want to know what they taste like.
Of course.
And thank God these were the teachers I had, right? Because she said, and did you discover this? You know, like, did you discover? I mean, I'm paraphrasing now because I don't really remember, but it was like, you know, and have you found the answer to your question? And she's like, yes. And she never bit anybody ever again. And then she's looking at me and I'm like, you know, and if you could have served somebody alcohol during the middle of the day, during a childcare day, I would have bought this girl a shot so bad because she deserved so much because she never lost her patience and she never lost her temper. And I could see this relief, like, oh my God, was it really this easy? Like, I should have just asked her 3 weeks ago, like, why are you biting people? So, you know, the question in and of itself, there's still room for it. I would hate for our listeners to think like, you know, somehow you're not allowed to ask that question. But I think it is important, as in all of our episodes that we talk about, to be very mindful of, you know, as often as possible, what's coming out of your mouth? What's the intention? What's your feeling? Where are you? Who is this for? Is this for you? Is this for them? Is this to the air? You know, are you really expecting an answer? Or is this really that primal, like, rah?
So
you might be better served just screaming.
Yeah.
Not screaming, but, you know, making that guttural sound.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so why'd you do that? A good question for self-reflection. when you're trying to figure out your own thought process and your own actions. A great question to ask children with the proper tone of voice when you're trying to figure out what's going on with them. It's something that I've used with my own kids. It's something I probably catch myself saying with grandbaby too, when she, especially when I see her doing a new thing, because I think it can kind of help kids think about their thinking when you can use a question like that in conversation with them.
Well, true. I think kids are really smart and they can tell if you're really asking because you're trying to get information.
Yeah.
I think there's room for thinking about, you know, the different ways of saying that same question, you know, talk to me about what you're doing over here.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm curious about what's going on here. It's all the same intention, but it's not as maybe threatening.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And it's all about the tone. I mean,
or defensive.
I remember with one little guy, he was in the block area and he was, I can't remember what the tower looked like, but he was doing something really neat I hadn't seen him do before. And I'm kind of, and we're talking about the buildings and what noises it's going to make when it crashes and how loud it's going to be and all that kind of stuff. And I'm, you know, just conversational. I'm kind of like, why'd you put these guys up here? That kind of thing. And it can really help support the conversation. So the why'd you do that question can be very useful. Shouted over your shoulder at a child going about the work of being a child on the zoo is probably not the best use for the question though, but it can be a valuable question when used appropriately, huh?
When used appropriately. And I think the thing we've alluded to, but maybe haven't just said directly, is that the reality is that when you ask anybody under the age of at least 6, what are you doing or why did you do that? It's, you're either going to get, I don't know, or you're going to get a very literal response, right? Because that's just where they are.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that phrase actually just might not be always the best choice.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? You know, because, I mean, Yeah. I think the information that you're wanting to glean when you ask that question can definitely be gleaned with using a couple different words.
Yeah.
But I also know that in the heat of the moment, you know, if you realize that you're like, oh my God, why did you do that? And then you're like, whoa, hey, hold on. You know, Miss Lisa needs to step back for a minute. Talk to me about this. I'm noticing now you're full of mud and there's milk on the floor.
and why is,
I need to clean this up.
Why isn't there any fur left on the cat?
Yeah, right?
So we're...
Why is the cat nude? Who shaved the cat?
So we're coming up on 26 minutes. We put a pin in the idea of scolding kids for being kids a while back. That can probably become another episode. And as we wrap this one up, we'll just throw this out to listeners. If you've had any why'd you do that experiences, we'd love to hear about it on the interwebs. So share with us. We'll be back Friday with another episode. Or actually, you know, hey people, let's tell you the truth. This episode's going to get released not on a Monday or a Friday. It's going to get released sometime in there because Jeff messed up and forgot to bring a cable to Florida. And so
why'd you do that?
I know, because I packed too quickly apparently. And I, you know, the problem was I usually just unplug the board and just leave all the cables plugged in and just throw it in the bag that way. But I was like taking the cords off and wrapping them nicely, trying to be organized. And
look at you.
I know. Trying to be
Don't
organized.
Don't try and be an adult ever again.
It screwed me twice in the last week, so I'm going to give it up. So there'll be another episode whenever, you know, the next appropriate time. Thanks for listening.
You
guys are great. And we've really been picking up some more listeners lately, and we know people are out there sharing the show. Enjoy and have a great
having
day.
A hard time.
Bye-bye.
Sleeping. Off
Bye-bye.
Your feed, feeling blah, blasé, down. Maybe you need more Lisa Murphy in your life. Check out ooeygooey.com and hunt her down on Twitter and Instagram. It'll make your life better.
Hey, we're starting a revolution. A play revolution. A playvolution. Get it? come on over and check it out at www.myplayvolution.com. It's an online community for parents and early learning professionals who want to chat and share information and talk and educate themselves and educate others about what's going on in the early learning profession. Let's face it, Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter aren't as warm and cuddly as we might like them to be. This is your community, a place you're going to help create. Come on over. Don't be afraid. Check it out. Jump in. Support the community. Be the community. We need you. Got it? See you there. Thanks for listening to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. If you like the show, check out our other offerings, Shots, Lisa's Book Report, and Tom Copeland's Taking Care of Business. And we'd love it if you shared them with friends, left a comment at myplayvolution.com, and gave them 5 stars on iTunes. Thanks. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh. Chase them.